and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day, still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground, Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
If you've been following along with our Bible study on Proverbs, you know that I've been speaking about the fool. The Bible is plain. God is plain spoken, and he tells it exactly like it is. And he talks about the fool, the person who does not listen, the person who has knowledge and wisdom available, but doesn't take advantage of it. Now, let me remind you that when God asked Solomon, what do you want? Solomon asked for wisdom. He asked for the ability and the instruction he needed in order to be able to rule the people that he was going to be in charge of as their king. He wanted to do what God wanted him to do. And we said before that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Well, Solomon knew there was God, and therefore he asked God for wisdom. Well, what does a fool do when his father, who is older and much more experienced in living, instructs him in the way he should go? And we talked about this the last time. Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 5 says, a fool despiseth his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. The older we get, the more we understand that our fathers know more than we do. But the fool despises his father's instruction, according to Proverbs 15:5. And then in Proverbs 23 and verse 9 it says, speak not in the ears of a fool, for he will despise the wisdom of thy words. The fool will actually just say that you don't know what you're talking about. When someone speaks to a fool and gives him wise advice, he despises the wisdom of words, according to Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 9. Well, how do you respond when someone gives you wise advice and counsel? When God speaks to your heart as you are in prayer, and now I believe that he speaks to you in that still small voice, we'll say, through the Holy Spirit, but he does not speak to you audibly. He speaks to you really through his word. It's the word of God that leads and guides us. And I've taught on the dispensation of someone who has conscience. The conscience, you've heard the term, let your conscience be your guide. Well, that's not true. The conscience can tell you when you do wrong, but the conscience can really not tell you what to do is right, what you should do. So therefore, we need to have someone who's going to lead and guide us, and that is God through his word. When we're children, our father guides us, and we get instruction from our mother as well. Well, do you heed the counsel of others, such as your pastor, your Sunday school teachers, and so forth, or do you know more than they do, or do you think you know more? Do you display a know-it-all attitude or you can't tell me anything attitude and an unwillingness to follow the advice of others? We need to listen. And I've discovered that if I listen more when someone is speaking, I learn more. When I keep quiet and I listen, I actually learn the things that people are saying. And I learn good things, and I've heard some bad things as well. And I know to stay away from those bad things. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 15 says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Now the Bible says in Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. And we keep reading in the book of Psalms, or Proverbs, Proverbs 29:15, says the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother shame. Well, some people have this idea that if you discipline a child, that you're actually punishing that child. I prefer to call it the correction. The correction that is necessary in order to, shall we say, get the attention of that child who is bound in foolishness. Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. People get in their minds, and when they see that term and they read that, the rod of correction, they believe that, well, you're going to beat the child to death. No, you're not. And I'm not speaking of taking some kind of an iron pipe or something like that and beating anyone. It's the rod of correction. It's the correcting process that we use in order to help a child to once again not only help them to understand that they've done wrong, but to help them to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, because this is where we get it from. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, according to Proverbs 22:15. And this foolishness comes out and expresses itself in the form of disobedience and disrespect. And I made mention last time that God will chastise the believer when that believer gets out of his will. When that believer does something that is sinful, then the fellowship between that believer and God is broken. Doesn't mean that believer's lost salvation. It means that that believer, there is no real contact, we'll say, with the Heavenly Father in prayer and in Bible study. You say, well, wait a minute, I thought we talked to God in prayer. We do. When we say, oh God, forgive me, I've done wrong, and Lord, please forgive me that my fellowship with you can be restored. David prayed like that in Psalm 51. He prayed that God would hear him, that he would forgive him of the sin or sins that he had been committing. God, help me. We could say, not to do the things wrong that I've done. Help me, Lord, restore to me the fellowship that I need with you, Father. When we do that, then God restores us to that fellowship that we need, that being able to have fellowship with him, that fellowship that we need in order to, once again, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, the child who's being raised by godly parents, that child will be corrected. That child, now, once again, some people take this out of context, and you've had the liberals today, those people who are not in the Word of God, they will tell you that it is wrong, and this was taken out of school many years ago, of correcting a child. It used to be called the Board of Education. Well, this is something that, this is one of the reasons, I believe, not only because the Bible was taken out of the school and prayer was taken out of the school, but so was the correction, the correcting of disobedient children. If those children grow up without being corrected, then they're going to continually get worse and worse. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, according to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 15. And how should the parents deal with this problem? And I've talked about this. How can mom and dad drive the foolishness away? I call it corporal correction, the rod of correction. This is needed when a child shows disrespect and disobedience. And this means physical, bodily, and especially spiritual correction. Letting that child know that you love that child, that you're trying to help that young person, once again, to grow up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Foolishness is bound in the heart of older people too, because we were all born in sin. We do not naturally become wise. We naturally become foolish. Well, men do not naturally and normally follow the path of wisdom, but rather, men usually go the other way. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 20 says, wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. And Proverbs chapter 1, verses 24 through 30, it says, because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and with none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. And verse 29 says, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Now this is not only speaking to the unsaved person, this is speaking to the saved person who continually does things that is not pleasing to God. And we need to stay close to the Lord so that God does not have to reprove us as saved people, as His children. We need to stay as close as we can to the Lord, stay in Bible study, fellowship, and prayer with our Heavenly Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is our advocate. He is the mediator between God and man, and He is the one we need to say, Lord, thank you for saving my soul. Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done wrong. Lord, please forgive me. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as our advocate, takes that to the Heavenly Father, and our Father says, I forgive. Now, of course, we need to be sincere. It needs to come from our heart that we're sorry for anything that has come into our life as saved people that separates us from the fellowship that is in our Heavenly Father, that is with our Heavenly Father. Well, the fact of the matter is, men as such will usually go their own way. And that's, I'm speaking of mankind. And the path of wisdom is not the popular path. Fools greatly outnumber the wise. And we see that in our world today. Well, are you a part of the foolish majority, or are you a part of God's minority group made up of those who take His word seriously and act upon it? Proverbs chapter 13, verse 19 says, the desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is abomination to fools to depart from evil. Man inherently is a sinner. We have inherited that sinful nature. Now, once again, we try to blame Adam for the sin that is in our lives, but I remind you, as I've done before, that sin in your life is personal. You can't blame Adam for your personal sin. That sin needs to be taken care of. That sin needs to be taken to God, taken to the Lord. And if you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that sin problem in your life can be taken care of by saying, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. Lord, I've changed my mind about how to get to heaven. I know that I can't go my way. It's your way. And I'm willing to trust you now because I believe you died on the cross. You were buried and you rose from the grave on that third day. You shed your blood for me. And Lord, the best I know how right now, I'm asking you to save me so that I one day will see you in heaven. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Now, a simple prayer is not going to save you, but it's what comes from your heart. When you say, Lord, I can't save myself. I've changed my mind about how to get to heaven. It's got to be through you. And Lord, I'm asking you to save me right now. If you pray a prayer, something like that, and the prayer comes from your heart. When you pray from your heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That means you believe in your heart and you say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. And I pray that you do know Jesus as your Savior. And if you do not, why not call upon Him today? Trust Him as your Lord and Savior. Remember, don't be the fool that says in his heart, there is no God. Trust Him today.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.